intangibility. Products sometimes are intangible. They cannot be touched as they include flight experience on an airplane, a night rest in a hotel, a view of the mountain, a visit to a museum, and much more. These products are experiences. You have understood by this time that all these are only linked to the services that you have paid for to get connected to those type of services. If a hotel room for which you are paid $100 per night, but it doesn't command the sun, a sea view or a mountain view, that even staying at another room of the same hotel, you may have a garden view, a swimming pool view, but not the sea view or the mountain view. So it is intangible. It has to be availed. You can avail by utilizing what is linked to that product. Inseparable also, production and consumption of tourist services are closely interrelated. Production can only take place or can only be completed if the customer is actually present. You have understood this. You cannot avail services in Bangkok city by sitting in Mumbai. You cannot. You have to be actually present. This means that the act of production and the consumption is simultaneous. You have to arrive in Bangkok where this service will be made available to you. You have to sit in a bus or a vehicle or take up a flight and use and avail this. So they are inseparable. They are linked to one another. You can just tell stories, you can appreciate, you can write, but you cannot experience it. It has to be physically connected to one another. Perishable, I have explained to you. Services cannot be stored like goods can be stored. Airline cannot say, okay, 20 seats went empty. I have retained this 20 seat. I will sell this on another flight. No, you cannot. And likewise, it is not possible for a service producer to create a stock of product to satisfy daily variation in demand. These rooms were available last night, but today you have come, they are full. I cannot give you a luxury apartment or a king-size bed because all king-size beds have gone. You can only have a double bed, not a king-size bed or a queen-size bed. Because the room that had have all gone. It was vacant last night, but today it has gone. So, perishable. If service capacity or products are not sold on a particular day, the potential revenue they represent is lost and cannot be recovered. You cannot earn that for 10 January revenue on 11th of January. It is loss. So on for 10th of January, your accounts will record 180 seats only sold, 20 were empty. They could have been sold by putting up different pricing strategies. Services production can be better seen in terms of capacity and not in terms of quantity. Capacity is utilized only when customers are present on the service provider or producer's premises. So if the passengers are there at the airport, ready to occupy those seats, 200 seats, then only the revenue can be generated. Otherwise, you cannot just say, last night flight took with 20 seats empty, should have gone last night, I would have given you this fare. Hotel with a fixed number of rooms, I have explained this in detail. Perishable aspect is directly linked in the case of travel and tourism services with seasonality. Rate prevailing in the low season will not be offered in the high season. The rate for a hotel room is $50 in the off-peak month. Come the peak season, be it is Diwali season, Christmas season, the room rate would shoot up from $50 to $80 and $100. You have to pay that. Like what you see, if you book in advance, airlines give you lower fare. The moment you come closer to the day, the demand rises up, and the same passenger sitting next to you would pay maybe 10,000 rupees, whereas you have booked that seat for 5,000 rupees 4 months in advance, because you guaranteed to the airline that I'm ready to pay this price, paying you in 3 months in advance, whereas the other is coming up just one day before the departure. So the pricing, the perishability of the product involves, and also variability, partly as a result of inseparability, tourism suffers from considerable variation in the standard of delivery of the service. This is called variability and is influenced by human factor. What experience you could have got on a particular airline flight, possibly the same experience somebody else may not be able to get it. And that's a variability because human factor gets involved into it. Every service performance is unique event. I'll give the example of most airline operate either Airbus or Boeing 747. While flying from Mumbai to Dubai, Emirates Airline brings in Boeing 777, which is wide-body aircraft. Another airline on the same route brings Boeing 777, but why a particular airline scores on another airline? A, because of the time performance, on-time departure, the quality of service, the meal, the behavior, the attitude of the crew. All these are human factors, and it varies. Same aircraft, no different type of an aircraft, but because of the human factor, the commitment, the customer service quality will add up to the quality of service, and this variability happens. On-time performance, many passengers are ready to pay extra money to those airlines whose on-time performance is ranking always high. Always, for example, DGCA, Director General of Civil Aviation, releases a monthly list of airlines who depart from a particular city to another city or various cities, the on-time departure. And how does this happen? Because of the human factor involved. The ground staff, the check-in staff, the in-flight team, all work together to ensure the flight takes on time. And this is what people want, because they have managed various other things based on on-time departure. The variability depends with the involvement of human factors into it. The moment you take it, okay, the passengers have taken the boarding passes, they will definitely come on board. We are delayed, okay, fine, we are delayed, means delayed. What can we do? And ultimately resulting into practically flight getting 2 hours delay, 3 hours delay, and so on and so forth. So variable of human nature comes into it. Seasonality and other variation also is the pattern. The high fixed cost of operation with fixed capacity at any point of time also is seasonality and variation in the pattern of demand. More the higher the season, bigger the demand, better, higher the price. Same price that you paid in a low season, you cannot say, last time I flew, I paid 5,000 rupees for Mumbai-Delhi flight. Now this is Christmas time, I have to pay 9,000. Same flight, same 7 o'clock flight I took, but I'm paying 9,000. Why? Because of the seasonality and the variability in pattern of demand. Also the interdependence of tourism service, the role of intermediary also plays an important role in the features of travel and tourism. Interdependence of tourism services, the connectivity of various service providers, interdependence. Some airlines may not operate in low season, or the reduction in number of operations, interdependence. So this flight will not reach on time, will not able to connect, because the earlier flight used to come on time and connect on time with the flight. That one. The role of intermediary, the various intermediary that we saw, the travel agent, the tour operator, the service provider, they need to support for these variations. If their support is not up to the mark, if the service provider doesn't send a bus on time, the group comes at the airport and wait helplessly until such time that service provider comes with the bus to take them off. They've stayed at the airport for 3 hours just waiting for the service provider or the intermediary. And the travel motivation also changes. These are a very important variable factor. What people had as a mindset to travel, now the motivation of travel due to COVID has come down to a great extent. Despite people have the motivation of travel, but it is dragging them behind simply because of the health, the hygiene, and the security safety part of the international travel. So travel motivation also is an important feature. Seasonality, it all depends on various seasons that we travel. Higher the season, higher the price, more demand, more money charged, opportunity for airline to make money, to make good from the losses that they have done. Seasonality plays a very important role in travel and tourism industry. It is a characteristic of a most leisure tourism market that demand varies greatly between seasons of the year. In the monsoon, certain tourist destination will get a good flow of tourists. Say Mahabaleshwar, Matheran. People go there to look for waterfall. That only happens when there is a heavy downpour. But winter season, snow is not there in the summer. So snow or winter sport activities, snow climbing, will not happen because the season, snow is not there. It is a summer month. Likewise, in India, it is seen that residents living in tropical region will visit hill station. I gave the example of going to Mahabaleshwar or other regions like Matheran. People go in the month of April to June because on the mainland, it is too hot and they would like to shift to the cooler temperature and they go to hill station. Seasonal closure of many leisure tourism businesses is still common activity. Like example, some tourist destination that experiences a very heavy snowfall in the winter month, they're closed. Europe, for example, in the most colder season also, like in the most extreme winter, there is a blackout period that is called high season, which is a festive season starting anything from 20th December to 5th of January, despite being a very cold season in Europe or in Canada, people do travel for festival, which is the Christmas or the New Year. So that comes in between, but normally cold, winter, rain in our path, people stay at home. In any tourism promotional material, the best time to visit, they would always suggest what is the best time. For example, for India, generally says from October to March is the best time because the weather is fairly good for international and domestic travel both. High operational costs are mainly associated with fixed capacity at any time. A tour operator that has to run a service with one passenger or 10 passengers into the same service, the operational costs are high. To go into the Rocky Mountain, take the group up, like railway networks in Switzerland. Some of the rail network that passengers travel do need to pay the sum into various $100. Because those railway networks are built specifically the high cost, operational cost. They have been built, run by private operators in Switzerland. Some railway network would cost you to go for a day and half trip, anything from $300 and upward and so on because of the high operational cost. City tour, if you take to a random place where flow of tourists is not maximum, the service provider will collect that much money from one single person alone itself. You have to pay that pricing. High operational costs associated with fixed capacity at any point of time. Operational costs are relatively high and includes available level of capacity. So there is only one passenger. If the cost of running that service is $300, this one single person will pay that $300. And if the capacity for accommodate four passengers in the same bus is available, that will come to $75 per head. So operational costs got reduced and so on. So this is an understanding of high operational costs. Fixed costs covers premises, capital costs, and now we are looking into the breakup of the costs. Capital costs and annual maintenance costs, property that are being opened up, that has an operational cost for salaries of the staff, running of electricity, power, and so many other fixed operational costs. If you, for example, in recent months, Hyatt Regency at Mumbai International Airport has been closed down because their operational cost is very high, and international tourists to whom they cater, generally five-star property, high-end guests whom they were catering to, they don't have those high-end guests. Various F&B functions are not happening. Banquet functions and banquets are not happening, which were bringing in the major revenue. So they had to close down. They have to close their premises, capital costs and annual maintenance costs, rent, leases, and these are all kind of breakup of high operational costs. And this is why many tourist attractions cost you big money. Because the operational costs, the fixed costs, maintenance costs are very high. And that, of course, is filtered down to the end user, resulting into high cost, which many of the end users or the passengers, the traveler, can't afford to pay at that level. Air conditioning, lighting, and other energy costs, which are of constant running, cannot be stopped. That has to be operated. I gave the example of Hyatt Regency, which closed during these days. Fixed costs, who are they? Now we are looking into economics and the other details. Insurances, whether you have a business or you don't, you have to pay insurance. Salaries and wages and other social provisions like provident fund, gratuity, indemnity, medical services to staff that you have to pay. Management overheads, five-star hotels do have a flag hotel as their brand. Say Intercon is the flag that they use. Ownership of the land or the hotel may not be of Intercon. A particular big business corporate house would have built a hotel and handed over the management part to Intercon, to Sheraton, to Holiday Inn, as an example. So that fixed management costs is there, whether you get one guest or no guest. Marketing expenses are always there. To continuously keep marketing your product, you need to make noise, keep your product floating in the market by regularly spending on marketing. These fixed costs are mostly committed ahead over a specific period. So when there is a cost done, it is done on the first 12 months. And this is how any new venture product, be it this tourism product or any product that comes in the market, are looked into. These have to be met, whether the tourist attraction has 10 visitors, 100 or 1,000. You understand? So if an aircraft has 5 passengers, 100 passenger, or full capacity of 200 passenger. If the train has all the bogies full or half empty, they have certain operational costs. Even schedule, that is why right now, because of the COVID, the scheduled flights are not operating, because they don't expect that many number of passenger on a scheduled flight. That's why bubble flights are being operated, because you don't know exactly how many passengers would be coming on a particular flight. Interdependent, they are all interdependent on one another in the form of product is assembly by many. These services cannot be provided by single enterprise. A travel agent cannot say, I can give you a package. They have to approach to an airline to get a ticket. They have to go to a tour operator. They have to go to a hotel. So they are all interdependent on one another in a final product that is meant for consumption by the end user or a passenger. So they are all interdependent. A passenger buys an airline ticket, also he buys a hotel accommodation, also buy a tour package, and they are all, tour package is worth nothing if passenger doesn't arrive to a destination by flight. If he has arrived, there is no hotel room for him or her to stay, then that is again an issue, accommodation. All these are interdependent on one another. The service is an amalgamation of many components which together make a complete tourism product. That is why nowadays, when everything has gone digital, an end user buys many products combining by himself rather than approaching to a tour product directly as a one total component. Many tour operators may only sell you hotel. They will not be able to sell you airline ticket, and they say, we don't sell airline ticket. We will help you, you buy on your own. This is how you can do it. This trend has been moving. So the role of intermediary, we are now looking at tourism services come in the form of a package, from diverse supplier and or intermediaries. Intermediaries are still there. I'll tell you the reason why intermediaries can never go out of tourism business, despite so much dependency on direct booking, approaching direct on the booking engine, reaching to the different hotel consolidator airline directly on booking. Because the intermediary is a face, is a name to connect to, put up your complaint, put up an approach for advices, suggestions, solutions. This cannot be reached or approached directly on any web portal. You are sending an email, or possibly you are going on a booking engine and booking. There is no personal human touch. So intermediary's role will always be there. Of course, not to the tune that used to exist before. Because simple booking, you are taking Mumbai to Dubai, Dubai to Mumbai flight. This is not a rocket science. You don't need an expert to advise you. You just go on booking engine, look for the date you want, put up your name, select the seat you want, pay the money online, bingo, your booking is done. But you have booked a package through a service provider in Singapore. You haven't seen that service provider. You just gone on a booking engine and booked. What happens? Once you reach there, you don't find your name. You booked and you paid for a luxury room and you are given a standard room. You paid for a room facing sea view, and you are given a room looking at the back door of various AC units, or you have been given a room where there is a lot of noise. It's about the, so what you would do? It's a booking engine. So the role of intermediary is going to remain there. Not to that tune what it used to be before, but definitely it will be there. So in tourism, sales intermediaries like tour operator, travel agent, reservation services, and the hotel agents play a dominant role. They determine to a larger extent which services will be sold and to whom. So some of these service providers, intermediaries, help and assist in not only booking the right type of services that are asked for, but assist in visa. They assist in explaining to them in their own lingo, in case if they are not comfortable with internationally accepted languages. Good number of Indian population live in the rural areas, and they have money. They can travel. So these intermediaries come and connect them and take them as a tour operator, as a group leader, as an escort, and take them. So role of intermediary is very important, and it will remain there. Travel motivation, what motivates us to travel? Travel motivation are diverse in nature. And what motivates you? They call push and pull factor. Expectation. Oh, I'm looking for some very good holiday. I'm looking for some relaxation. I'm looking for some wonderful massages, head massage, body massage, all that. Expectation. I'm looking for a place where I don't find lot of crowd. I don't want to see big crowd coming there. I would like a remote place where I can get up at my ease. I don't want to get connected with the lively world. I don't want to see network, internet. This, I would like to relax. Everyone has an expectation. Someone going, say people going from a particular state would love to go and consume some alcohol. Example, this is an example. Some states in India don't have officially alcohol available at the vendors, possibly at restaurant you may get. So they may not opt that destination. They may not motivate them. Example. And desire. So expectation and desire differ from person to person. And this is a motivational factor. As I was saying, some people during COVID, some of them lost their family members. They have taken an wish or an oath, I would go and visit XYZ place, which is a religious place, and I'll pray for the people who died due to COVID. So that motivates them. Some people would like to go and see some sports. That motivates them to go to, say, South Africa for watching cricket, or people going and watching football, and they would go to that area. So that is a motivation. And also, holiday destination, what that destination has to offer, what type of accommodation does that property offer, five-star property, or if all five-star properties have gone. I know quite a few places in India where the number of guests that turns up, especially in the marriage season, the hotel rooms are not available. Especially during marriage season, which generally happens now from now onward, from Diwali until it will go on till possibly March or April, that you go to smaller town, you won't find hotel for staying. So people may not attract tourists. Their expectation, accommodation of not up to the standard requirement that they want. That is why many such functions only happen where they can have those type of accommodation. Giving an example from Mumbai, I can tell you. If, for example, Mumbai start getting huge number of mass tourists, like any other major city, you don't have enough rooms. If, for example, if we start holding Asian Games, when Asian Games were held in Delhi, different accommodations were built for tourists who would come for Asian Games. So accommodation is motivation. I should go here because there are these type of hotel and many such things that relates to. Thank you very much.